Blog Talk Radio.
Memorial Day weekend episode of the A New Day show. You are always accustomed to be listening to this show on Wednesdays between 10 and 12 noon Eastern time. However, the Lord has placed it on my heart to do this very special episode this morning, dealing and discussing about our Valley days and valley times. And, you know, I am certain that I am not the only person who has experienced valley times or probably still is experiencing valley times. So I pray that you will join me in the chat room this morning and that you will call in. The telephone number is 646-915-8166. And please join in the conversation because I am sure you too have some steps that has helped you through your valley days. So again, call me. The number is 646-915-8166 to join in this very powerful, if you may, conversation on this Memorial Day. Before I get in the conversation, I want to read this powerful statement for you. And, you know, for years I used it and I gave credits to President Nelson Mandela, and then I learned afterwards that it was first used and created by Marianne Williamson. So this morning I want to give credit to both of these people. And it reads, "Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, and fabulous? Actually, who are we not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small doesn't serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We were born to manifest the glory of God within us. It's not just in some of us. It's in everyone. And as we let our light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. And I thought this quote very fitting for today's show and the topic that we are going to be discussing. And I'm saying we because I'm praying that you will be joining me this morning in the conversation, either in the chat room or on the telephone lines. You know, each and every one of us have been through many, many, many valley days over our lifetime. And the one thing we have to keep focusing on is that we need always to be hopeful, because we know that hope opens the way when there seems to be no way. I want to say that again. For those of you who are listening, whether you are listening live or you're going to be listening on the recording, always be hopeful, knowing that hope opens the way when there seems to be no way. For me, as I, over the lifetime, over my lifetime, has faced and been part of many, many, many valley times in my life. I've went through valley times when my 10-year-old son and I, we became homeless. I went through valley times when I left New York City and came to Connecticut with a gentleman that we were going to be going into business with to sell knockoff perfume, and that didn't work out. That was a valley time, and that was the time when my son and I became homeless, and we were in the shelter. We left from the shelter into the transitional home. All those were valley times. And I'm here today to let you know that I did praise my way out of those valleys. I rejoiced my way out of those valleys. Regardless of whatever valley times you are facing right now, know that there is a way out. There is a way out. You know, the one thing that I always did during those times, I was going to different churches, and you know, I remember going from one church to the other and you know, I call that church hopping. But I never at that time have a true church home. Growing up in the West Indies, I was Moravian, and I was not a born again Christian at those times. During those times, I was very active in the church, involved in the church. Went to church every Sunday, sang on the junior choir, and until I grew up, I was part of the adult choir. So I always had a true understanding of what it is to go into church and be part of a congregation and a religion And I quote that, a religion, if you may. However, I honestly cannot say that I had a true understanding of what a relationship was all about. And as I grew older in the Lord, and I came to the United States, and I went to a church service in Brooklyn, New York. A lady was visiting for a revival, and I noticed she gave an invitation that if you want to accept the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, she extended the invitation, and that was my first experience of understanding what it is not to be religious, but to be spiritual. And, you know, things happen at the right time, because it was shortly after that I went into valley time with my Mary Kay business. I used to be a Mary Kay consultant, and then I won the Mary Kay car, and I became a director in Mary Kay, and I won the pink car. Then I became a senior director in Mary Kay, and it was a very wonderful business. I'm sure there are many people listening now who know the magnitude and the impact, the positive impact that Mary Kay Ash has placed into the lives of many families across the world. And that is such an amazing, amazing, amazing company. I know that the field I am in now, being my time in the Mary Kay Ash company, has helped to direct and point me into the direction with the confidence that I have. I remember when I made the recruiting court in Mary Kay, Mary Kay Company, and went to Mary Kay Ash, went down to Dallas, Texas, went to Mary Kay Ash's new pink house that she had built at the time, and she invited us over for tea. And when I went there, I remember Mary Kay Ash said, you know, very humble lady, and Mary Kay Ash pointed to us, and she said, "Oh, come on, girls," she says, sitting in the bed. She said, "Look in my closet." She said, "Try my shoes on, because you want to just experience everything I am experiencing, knowing that this can be yours too. Nothing is out of your reach." And, you know, the way that Mary Kay Ash treated us that day, I made a commitment to God, and I said, "God, I thank you for this moment. Thank you for this experience, because never in my life will I treat anyone inferior. I will be warm and welcoming to everyone. It doesn't matter what elevation that you bring me to in life, but I will remember that each person is important. And when I speak to each person, I will give them my undivided attention." So, to go back now to the time when I accepted the Lord as my personal Savior, it was a couple of years, a few years after that my unit started deteriorating. You know, in sales you have to make certain production in order to be running an effective unit. And it came a time when I had to relinquish my unit. I lost the pink car. So from driving in luxury to going back to walking and pulling that luggage carrier that I always carry my showcase on to do my classes, and I was back to taking the train. I was no longer a director. I was back to being a consultant. But during that time, I said to God, "God, give me clarity and show me what it is you want to do for me. Show me." You know, during that time when my funds got low, I had to put my things in storage because I couldn't afford to pay for the apartment I was living in at the time in New York. And I, oh, thank you, Jesus. As I talk about this, it's just, you know, this Memorial Day, it helps me to just bring to memory the place, the distance that God has brought me from. I remember putting the things in storage in Hicksville, in Long Island, in the U-Haul place, and I want to take time to just welcome in Victor Swan to the chat room, and I remember putting my things into the storage and going out and becoming part of a company called Centura Creation. I'm selling the knockoff perfume on the street because they had promised us that they will put us in business and we'll have a distribution for ourselves. And to just cut a long story short, when I came to Connecticut with my gentleman I was going to go into business with, when we reached Connecticut, there was no money forthcoming to us. And that was another valley time for me. And, you know, while we were up here trying to establish and develop a company out of the Centura Creation, we found out that we had no money. And we didn't know how to write grants, but we started looking around for grants so we could still open the distribution center. You know, the gentleman, his name was Neville, and he and I, we were running back and forth from Danbury, Connecticut to Bridgeport because there was a center already open in Bridgeport, and we were running advertisement, the newspaper, to get people to work in our distribution, not knowing that we would not have any money to open the distribution center. So, you know, I remember Neville and I, we slept in the little car he had, and my son was still back in New York with a friend. I had to leave him there with a friend while I was trying to sort out. And then Neville went back to New York because he said, you know, I'm going back to my sister. Things is not going to work out. And I said, you know, I'm staying here and I'm going to let this work for me in whatever way. I remember getting a job in the cafeteria at the hospital, and then I started working in the group homes for mentally challenged adults, and from that I went into working with one of the United Way agencies, and God just kept on opening ways for me to build on my life. You know, He always give me an opportunity to build my personal effectiveness and to help myself to make myself marketable. So through it all, you know, even during the time when I was church hopping, I remember when I was living in the transition home, and everybody there, that place is called Amos House. If you're listening from the Danbury area or the Connecticut area, you know Wisdom House. Amos House. In Danbury, Wisdom House is a place where I do retreat. It's a retreat center here. And I remember when we were living there, and we got invited for Christmas dinner. All the residents there got invited for a Christmas dinner at Bright Clouds Church, which was in Danbury. That church has now rebuilt a beautiful center, a beautiful complex in New Milford. And it's amazing how God works, because I went to that dinner there, and I remember the time a gentleman by the name of Al Quayle. Oh, he was such a warm, welcoming person, and He showed all the residents who came to that dinner such love, and all the parents left with a gift package for Christmas, and the kids got a gift package for Christmas, and he gave us a Bible and told us all to come back when we have a time to come back and worship. And, you know, I never went back. I was visiting. I had now adopted and selected Victory Christian Center as my home church. After I was church hopping during that valley time, I end up at Victory Christian Center as my home church. And I was there, and then I got a job at the housing authority, and then I was back in Valley Times again, and it was different things happening in the life of my son and I, and I was back in Valley Times, and I remember eight years ago, one Thanksgiving Thursday, I was sitting, and I was at home, and the Spirit says to me, go to Bright Clouds on Sunday. So I did not go to Victory, because during my Valley Times, a few months I wasn't going to church. I was just at home stewing in my Valley syrup. I was simmering. I was simmering, folks. I'm telling you, I was simmering. And I went to Bright Clouds, and I remember a lady that used to come to Victory by the name of Cheryl Gilbert. When I end up there, Cheryl asked me, oh, who invited you? And I said to her, no one. I just came by myself. And I am glad that the Lord brought me there on that Sunday, because I have not stopped going, and now this happens to be my home church. It's where I am right now, and I don't know when God will put me somewhere else to do his work, but for right now, that's where I am. And, you know, I have grown tremendously under the teaching of Pastor Frank Centura, and, you know, during this time, I have encountered many more powerful teachers, you know, Dr. Miles Monroe, who has become a personal friend of mine, a mentor, and a great teacher. I have encountered the teachings of Dr. Kingsley Fletcher and many more speakers who has come there who so strongly believe in the philosophies and messages that of what I believe in. So I've used all this time to prepare you, to let you know that you need to focus on building your personal effectiveness while you are in your valley. You need to know that it is only you who can make the change work for you. You know, there over my life, I have invested in so many books and so many books. And, you know, there's one little book that I have read over the years. It is called Prepare for the Wolf, Success Secrets from the Three Little Pigs. And that's a little book by Robert Roots. It's not a big book. It's an easy read. As a matter of fact, it only has about 96 pages, and that includes a section for you to write notes. But that's a little book that has done tremendous things in my life. And some of the reminders that I used during the times when I have worked on building my effectiveness, the one thing I kept on thinking is that most people in life want to feel useful. It doesn't matter what we are going through. We want to feel useful in our lives. And even done when we are down in the valley, we need to take a time. Instead of just stewing in our valley syrup, we need to take the time to find out what is the lesson I'm learning here. I am going to make myself useful during this time. I am going to create a way of getting myself out of this. You know, if you're employed, then work that job to the best of your ability. You know, work is important. We always need to give our best. Even though while you're on that job, you can be faced with many valley times. It could be the wages that you make. It could be the supervisor, the person who is in charge of you. There could be co-workers who are not acting right. But still during that time, you still need to do your best, and you need to keep praising and thanking God. I know, Lord, that you have placed me here for a reason, and I want to just learn the reason that you have me here. When things are going well, our life feels effective and efficient, and we are capable of handling whatever the work they throw at us. However, when we are in the valley, we sometimes become paralyzed in that moment. We are paralyzed, we are helpless, and we do not know what to do. And that's the time when we have to learn to stretch our arms high up above our heads. We got to stretch. We got to reach out. We got to climb on that invisible ladder and reach up for that strength that God has for us. Because once we reach up, He is going to allow us to cling onto that deliverance that He has for us. However, when things are not going so well, when too many demands are made on our time and we can't seem to see what's needed, then we may begin to feel ineffectual, de-skilled, and pitiless. And isn't that the truth? You know, in the time when we are down in our valley, we sit down and we say, well, there is no hope for us. There is no way out of this. But that's the time when we need to just cling on to the memories of where the Lord has brought us from. We always have to know what are the truths in our lives, because there are no truths to valley times. There are no truths to the time of darkness. There are no truths to the time of hopelessness. We have to know that all the light and all the truths come within our praise, within our gratitude, and within our time of rejoicing. I want to just remind us that there are certain times in our life when we think that, oh, what am I going to do now? There are no one around who wants to support me. No one understands what I am going through. However, I want to remind you that life is like mathematics. A straight line is always faster than a crooked one. And we need to maintain that we will never, ever, ever, ever get a detour. We will always be in a path towards our success. It doesn't matter how deep the valley, it doesn't matter how dark the valley, we shall rise up. As I did mention about my little book about preparing for the wolf and it's for the three pigs. And, you know, this is just another great book that has helped me during these valley, helped me to understand the importance of rejoice. And this book is by Robert Root. I want to share with you from couple sections in the book, and shares that success comes from sacrifice. Sacrifice, self-defense, success comes from sacrifice. Sacrifice from self-discipline, and self-discipline comes from self-awareness. When you are aware of who you are and what you want out of life, you see the benefits of self-discipline. The more disciplined you are, the easier it is to resist temptation and sacrifice your time and resource to reach your goals. It takes a mature person to understand and apply this code to his or her life. But once you do, your life changes instantly. Your strengths and your weaknesses. It is impossible to exercise self-discipline if you do not know yourself. You are the most important person when it comes to achieving success or happiness in your life. Some people do achieve some level of success without self-awareness. We have all heard about these people. They seem to have everything but are unhappy and experience bouts of depression and are tempted to heal their pain through drug and or alcohol abuse. After obtaining material position, fame or prestige, they discover who they really are and what they really want out of life. Unfortunately for them, neither money nor fame can buy happiness, but they must begin this process of resisting their temptation in order to achieve their true happiness. I have had my greatest success and happiness when I take time to get to know myself better. This is why I spend so much time meditating to increase my own self-awareness. You know, this is a powerful section in this book. And this has helped me to open my eyes and to help me to know that, Daphne, you don't always have to run to somebody to ask their advice. Get to know who you are. Get to understand yourself. And, you know, be ready to assess yourself. Be able to look in the mirror and to assess yourself. So, you know, right here, you know, my first secret on this path is self-assessment. Can I always look in the mirror and say to what I see, the person I see looking back at me in the mirror, is that you messed up today. What are you going to do about it? This is what you did wrong. Luckily, tomorrow is a new day, but what can you do today? Because tomorrow is not promised to you. So be honest and do your best always. So you need to be able to check yourself honestly. Because if you cannot do an assessment of yourself honestly, do not expect others to be honest about yourself, your assessment. Now, in that little book, Wolf number 9 speaks about your past. Your past is not your future, you know? And for those of you who have heard me speak on several occasions, you heard me mention that your past is not your future. It is just your beginning, and whatever it is that happens, it is in the archive. So know what's in your archive, learn from it, pick the lessons up out of that. And that is what the next step is. Your past is not your future. Don't judge yourself based on your past. Choose or choices or experiences. We all make mistakes and will continue to make mistakes. And I call them lessons learned. We will all create new lessons in our lives. The key is to learn and grow from those experiences. Don't let your past cripple you. Forgive yourself. God has already forgiven us. He sent his son Jesus Christ to the cross to die for us. And we need to forgive ourselves readily, just like he has forgiven us. The same is true for our successes. Don't become complacent or arrogant. Always remain humble. Life does not make any guarantees, nor does it place. It is never too late to succeed, and it is never too late to turn success into failure. Use past experiences as stepping stones. Learn yesterday's lesson, but leave yesterday in the past. As I said, that is archived. Leave it where it belongs. Avoid self-pity. Self-pity is very powerful and destructive force. It leads to discouragement, defeat, and pain. Move on. It happens. What are you going to do about it? You know, praise yourself in that moment and say, God, I am not where I used to be. I am still a work in progress. And I thank you for helping me through this situation. Today is a new day. Today is a new day. And you are listening to the A New Day show. There is no mistake here. Today is a new day in your life. Today is a new day in my life. And with it comes new challenges that need our undivided attention. We cannot move forward looking back. If we do, we will stumble and we will fall. Just like the past, our future will decide based on the choices we make today. The other section here from from the past is, if you do not have the power to change yourself, nothing, absolutely nothing will change around you. The things you experience in life are a result of the choices that we all make. if we want to change what we are experiencing or going through, we need to change ourselves. We need to change our attitudes. We need to change our thoughts. We need to change our habits. We need to change our patterns. The events in our life, as well as the we surround ourselves with, reflect the decision we make. Until we change ourselves, the reflections will not change. We cannot wait on conditions to improve first. We must take control of our lives. Other people can give us advice, but it is up to us to make the difference in the quality of the life that we experience. Decisions divide our life in two parts: before we make the decision and after we make the decision. We got to make sure that after is better than the before. By the way, choosing is not making a decision, it's making a decision. It's about personal accountability. You have to accept responsibility for you, for your life. It would be foolish of you to expect your life to change if you do not change first. So many people sit around complaining about their condition in life and refuse to take action. They go around telling everyone the same story day after day after day after day, hoping someone else will fix the problem. These people are the least satisfied with their lives. Things won't change until we accept the fact that we are responsible for our lives, not someone else. Everything starts and ends with us. If it is going to be better in our lives, it is up to us. Now, the other area I want to look on is the lack of support, you know. A lot of times when we are going through valley times, we look around and there are no one there for us, you know, not our relatives, not our spouses, nobody, not our best friends. You know, the other thing we need to understand is that this journey we are on, it is ours. It is not anybody else's. So don't keep looking for support. Just keep forging ahead. Keep forging, aspiring. Keep glorifying, keep praising for each little accomplishment. Thank God for where He has brought you from. I tell you something, when you are pathway on your success journey, people are going to start coming to support you. I am here to tell you, I have been there. I have experienced that. You know, people who told me I could not be an inspirational speaker with my Jamaican accent, they are some of my most diligent supporters and advocate now in all the things that I know I do. So, believe in what you are doing, knowing that the dream that you have is yours. And you are the one that needs to believe in it, not anybody else, because God gave it to you. Not for anybody else to believe in it, but for you to believe in the reason He created you, who your calling and your purpose, and you continue doing that, and support will come. You know, this includes friends and family members, as I mentioned before. They necessarily are not going to be there for you because, you see, they know you back when. And here you are now coming to step out and to be bold in the presence of God. They don't want that. They want to see you just still sitting and stewing in mediocrity. And they don't want to see you step out. So know that you don't have to get support in stepping out. One of the greatest challenges is to pursuing your dreams. In pursuing your dreams is to convince others to agree with or to understand your dreams. You know, a lot of times it is hopeless. So I have learned over the years, and especially when I'm going through valley moments, don't be serving pigs on my china, and don't be giving them water in my crystal glass. And let me just clarify what that means, is that when you share your dreams with people who do not share your consciousness and they don't have an understanding of what you're about, they treat it like pigs. If you give pigs their feed on China, they don't know how to deal with that. You cannot give them stainless steel cutlery. You cannot give them china. You got to feed them in a trough. That's what they are accustomed to. So don't be allowing people to treat your dreams as if you are feeding it to pigs that do not appreciate it. So you embrace your dreams. Unless you need their support or resource, it is usually best not to share your plans with too many people. And you only need the support of people who share your consciousness and believe in what you are doing. Because most people cannot see beyond their own circumstances or goals. Do not expect them to understand yours when they are struggling and going through their stuff and their issues. They are thinking, oh, please, I got my own stuff to deal with. I don't have time for you. And a lot of times they are not honest enough to tell you that. But you need to know that you should not be sharing your visions and dreams with people who are not about excelling in life. For some of us, a lack of family support could lead to family problems or deferment of our dreams. If you have to put your dreams on the back burner, don't do so because someone discouraged you. Put it there because God has given you an insight on areas that you need to develop or grow in or expand. But don't put it on the back burner or defer it because someone tells you you can't do it and nobody else has excel in that area. Evaluate your goals and find a way to identify many areas that might cause in disagreement. Make sure your dreams isn't selfish, unrealistic, dangerous, or harmful for others. Share your goals with your family, detailing objectives, timelines, expectations, and the benefits. Be sure to express your desire for their love, support, and encouragement. Because, especially children, when we show them that what we are doing will enhance and help develop the entire family's life, then they are going to be more open to supporting us in there. I know that, you know, children, when we are reluctant in speaking about what we are working on, children are always talking about, oh, what my mom is doing and what my dad is doing. So don't hide it from them. Don't shelter them. Open it and let the children know what you are going through and what you are looking to accomplish. Your family is no different than other people. They too sometimes cannot see beyond their own circumstances or dreams. So bear that in mind when they do not readily embrace what you are doing. Make sure you maintain effective communication. Communication is the key to effective relationship. Surround yourself with people who support, encourage, and guide you. You know, get true mentors. Get sure coaches. There are always mentors and coaches out there, spiritual leaders. And you must have that one best friend who will hold you accountable for whatever it is that you are going through. They can call you, and with love, they can tell you what is going on. You know, to have a friend like that, it is very important. And you also need to be a friend like that to others. Cannot wait on support. It usually comes after we start. You know, don't sit down and wait and say, well, oh, I'm waiting. You know, I know some people who, oh, they've been waiting. I've known them for 15 years, and God gave them an idea, and they are still waiting on God to start. They are still waiting. And I say, what has God got to do? He has to hit you in your head with a 3x4 and for you to start? So I want to also discuss with you here the 7 C's of success. And they are character, commitment, confidence, competence, consistency, creativity, and courage. Our life reflects our choices, and we need to master the 7 C's and become a solid brick. The first C is a character. And a quote from the Reverend Dr., the late Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. The ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in the moment of comfort, but where he stands in time of challenge and controversy. The most important quality a person can possess is character. Comes from a person's spirit and soul. It is like the reservoir from which all our decisions flow. If you lack character, you will find yourself making decisions that will lead you down a straw path. Character is about integrity, honesty, and morality. A developed character possesses self-control and achieves respect from others. See, commitment number 2, the quality of a person's life is in direct proportion to their commitment to excellence, regardless of their chosen field of endeavor. And that's a quote by Vince Lombardi. Commitment is the giving of you to your word and aspiration. Commitment helps you to develop endurance. When you are committed, you won't waver, unsure of your decision. Achieving your goals is your priority because you have totally given yourself. You will want and expect the best possible outcome. A lack of commitment creates chaos, hesitancy, and doubt. It also creates fear. When others see you are committed, They work to help make it happen. C, confidence, is the third C. Clear your mind of can't. And that's from Samuel Johnson. Confidence is believing in yourself, your ability, and your possibilities. Confidence begets enthusiasm. Confidence says, try and try again. Confidence knows no limits and seeks solutions. Confidence is the backbone of self-esteem. Without confidence, your self-esteem is shattered, and you will give up even before you try. Confident people are unstoppable. They may fall down, but they get up and keep trying. Oh, the C number four is competence. And competence, skill comes from doing. And that's a quote from Ralph Waldo Emerson. Competence is more than being capable. Competence is excelling. Being competent is only achieved by doing. Watching may make you familiar, but you will not develop skill. Competence is what separates the amateur from the professional. Competence is usually achieved only after a series of failed attempts and carries with it an invaluable ability of resolving problems. The more competent we become, the more valuable we are to ourselves and to our families and to our community and society. The next C is consistency. And Alice McKenzie says, a half-hearted goal may get you halfway to where you want to go. But I doubt it. It's more likely to get you just as far as the first detour, and off you go to another direction. Consistency is continuous effort. Consistency is necessary to achieving our goals. Inconsistency stops progress. Consistency is to life what wheels are to a bicycle and what engines are our cars. Once the wheels stop, the bicycle falls. Once the engine breaks down, the car is not going anywhere. Unless we are consistent, our efforts dilute over time and making them ineffective and absolutely in vain. Oh, the next C is courage. Courage is not the absence of fear, but rather the judgment that something else is more important than fear. And that's a quote from Ambrose Redmond. Courage is personal power. Your life grows or shrinks according to your courage. Courage sees beyond fear and sees the possibilities. A lack of courage means a life of hopelessness. When you display courage, your body, mind, and spirit follows. Courage goes beyond our comfort zone, seeking new skills, experiences, and opportunities. Now, the last C is creativity. The how thinker gets problems solved effectively because he wastes no time with futile ifs, hows, and why, but goes right into work on the creative how. Creative people are problem solvers. Life offers no blueprint for success or happiness. If you are not creative, you will find yourself stuck or having to pay others for solutions. Creative people live out of their imaginations. Life is a dynamic, changing place. As life evolves, solutions must also evolve. Creative people are always in demand. And along with that, you know, creative people are always the people who solve the greatest problems in life. And, you know, I learned that in my valley times, and when I reach out to my business coach, and he asked me, you know, he said, what's your target market? What problems are you solving? You know, and I think long and hard, and the Spirit said to me, that's the right question, because you're not here to serve everybody. You are here to serve the selective people. And that's the thing that you need to ask yourself too, and you need to have a true understanding of why you're here. And who is connected to you, because we are not here for everybody. How we think is critical to our success. We need to be confident. We need to focus on our successes, not failures. We need to avoid negative people, and we also need to avoid negative environments and surroundings. We need to have clearly defined our goals and dreams. We need to be specific and create a plan of action to achieve them. You know, while we are in the valley, this task or this activity is something you do and journal. This is why I am such an advocate about journaling, because while we are in the valley, that's the time we journal. We praise through our journal. We rejoice through our journal. And when we get out of the valley time, we are going to find out all the things and the lessons that we have learned during that time. We need to develop courage while we are there in the valley. A dream without action is nothing. Don't let anything stop you. Take custody of your life and for your life. We need to educate ourselves. We need to read. We need to listen to tape. We need to invest in ourselves. Get a coach. Get a mentor. You know? We need to be competent at what we do. If we need to go back to school, we need to do that, because, you know, it is so convenient now to go to school. I am going to school now online. I'm completing my psychology degree. You know, I a few months ago I was on the dean's list, and God, I thank you for the things you are doing for me, because remember, you know my story. I didn't even go to high school. And, you know, I am here today with a radio show. I am here today as a great inspirational speaker and a coach that helps people to find their purpose and passion. So God will do it for you. It's not where you start. It's where you finish. Just place all your experiences in the archive, and it helps to make your story. Be committed and consistent. Life is a voyage. It's a journey. Set sail for traveling the distance. Never give up. Because if you stop in the middle of the tunnel, you will never know what is out there for you. Never. You'll never know. So always, always travel the distance. Analyze details. Gather facts. Do not leave any stones unturned. And networking helps you do that. Because in the beginning, you will not have all the skills that is needed. But there are lots of skills that surrounds you. And you need to surround yourself with the right people. Ask questions. Ask the right questions and you will get the right answers. There are more people out there, I have found out, that wants to support your vision once they know you are serious about it and they see that you stick to it and you do not give up. There are many people out there who will invest in your vision and support you. But if you don't start and if you don't continue on this voyage, on this journey, they won't support you. They have to see that you are serious about that. Plan your time and money. Do not be easily distracted. Do not awkwardly, I tell you, because we are all created for greatness. Yes, an obstacle might come and cause a project to fail. Don't give up. When the bills pile up and it looks like nothing is coming in, say, God, I know you're on your way with the money. I know right now I can't pay my mortgage. I know right now I can't pay my phone bill. I know right now I don't have money for the car insurance. I don't have money to pay the mechanic. Lord, I know there's no water or milk in the fridge. Lord, I know what it looks like. I'm praising you in spite of. I know you're on your way to deliver all these things. I am ready. I'm open. I'm receptive. And I want to thank you for that. Be creative. Be different. Be unique. Know that God created you a unique, special person. No one else has your fingerprints. Nobody else. Not your mom, not your dad, not your brother, nor your sister. You are unique. You were created to solve a special problem. So get busy. Go out there. Tell your story. Be bold like me. Get on Blog Talk Radio. Start your own show. Get on your community access station and start your own cable show. So you can, you know, in your valley times, you can get on there and you can share what you're going through with others and they can share with you what they are going through. And together, you can rejoice and get out of the valley. You have to be you. You cannot tell anybody else's story. You need to be a leader and tell your story. Remember that you are an original. You are not a copy. We are all original, and we need to act like we are original. Effective communication is essential to effective leadership. Listen to inspiring speakers. Read inspiring books. Listen to inspiring programs. You know, there are so many inspiring programs on Blog Talk Radio. And the beauty about that is that they are all online. So if you're at work when this is happening live and you cannot join there, you can go on demand and you can search and find a show that will help you out of this valley. And when you do that, you know, you mark the show as a favorite and you keep going back because you will be kept up to date to what is happening on this show. And you can help minister to yourself and you can see that, hey, I'm not the only one that's in the valley. And this is what this person or these people did to praise their way out of their valley. Accountability is essential in our life. Everything starts and ends with you, as I said before. If you fail to develop your character, you will discover that you are your greatest obstacle and steps to preventing your success. You need to just understand that if I get into my way and if I block my progress, nothing powerful is going to happen in your life. You know, I also want to recommend a couple of my favorite books. And again, I want to tell you, I want you to go out today and I want for you to invest in a journal. I want you to start journaling. You know, today you are listening to Rejoicing from Your Valley. Today is September the 5th, 2009. Start your journaling today. This is going to help you out of the valley. This is going to energize you. This is going to keep you empty and allow your creative juice to keep flowing. I want to mention some of my favorite book to you. The newest book I'm reading now is called Overcoming Crisis, The Secret Step Thriving in Challenging Times. And this is from Dr. Miles Monroe. And you can pick that up. You go on my blog site, you will see a link to get that book. I tell you, it's a good read. You need to just buy them in bulk and give them to your friends and colleagues and family members, because everybody is in a valley time now. It's a valley time with the economy. There's valley time in our relationships. There's valley times with people staying in their homes. There's a lot of valley times going on. So pick that book up. I told you about Preparing for the Wolf, Success Secrets from the Three Pigs by Robert Roots. I just told you about Overcoming Crisis by Dr. Miles Monroe. I want to also tell you to pick one of his long-time books. And, oh, to me, that's a real classic in my library, and it is another one of Dr. Miles' book, In Pursuit of Purpose. You know, I love that book so much. It has done so much for my life that I am so committed in helping everyone find out what their purpose in life is. That's the textbook I use for my small group that I teach at my church. So if you are a member of Faith Church and you have not yet come into my small group, you need to sign up for that. And, you know, it's an 8-week class where God has done a lot of amazing things in not only in my life but in the lives of the people who are attending that class. So I want to just tell you again, there are so many books out there, you know, that Joel Osteen have his book In Pursuit of, not In Pursuit of Purpose, oh, Heavenly Father, oh, Living Your Life by, oh, my God, I forget the title, but just go out there, look on all his books. You know, there are so many books out there. Another one of my favorite books is Do It, Let's Get Off Our Butt. And by John Roger and Peter Mark Williams, you know, because we've been sitting on our butts for too long, so we need to get off of it and do things. You know, we've been sitting, and this is the reason why a lot of times we are in the valley. We need to get busy. We need to get active. We need to just keep moving and moving and moving forward. We got to keep reaching and striving for our success. I also want to share with you the 9 P's that has helped me to rejoice out of my valley. My first P is I have set goals while I'm there. What is it I want out of that? I plan, you know, my long range, my mid range, and my short term goals. Because you have heard the saying that you can eat a whole elephant, but you have to do it one bite at a time. And this is what happened, that we have to break these goals down. And even when you're in the valley, know that you have goals. And that is just preparing you and helping you to organize and plan them. You have to know your purpose. And I told you about the book that has helped me to really horn into and harness what my true purpose and calling is. So get that book, In Pursuit of Purpose. It's going to help you. Be persistent. Network with people who can help you or provide resources for you. And before, it's not that I'm contradicting what I said here about not telling people what to dream. These people that you are networking with are the people who share your consciousness, or who understand what you are about, not the pigs that you feed on your china. Oh, have persistence. Yes, we just did that. Perseverance. When there are bumps in the road, don't give up. Don't quit. Be patient with yourself. So when the valley gets darker, when the valley gets deep and you begin to get depressed, you got to press in. That's the time you pressed in. That's the time you praise. That's the time you rejoice, because keep visualizing that light, the brightness, the sunrise, the new day that God is getting ready to move you to. You are not seeing the dungeon, the dark dungeon that you're in. You are seeing the light. You are now at the end of the tunnel. You are seeing the horizon. You are looking at the luscious green mountaintop. That's what you're seeing. So remember to maintain your perseverance. P number 5 is power. Remember the power that God has instilled in you. Don't use that power to abuse nor to manipulate, but use it to strive for your greatness that God has created in you. P number 6 is pride. Take pride in all that you do. Remember I mentioned about not accepting mediocrity? Take pride. Don't do a sloppy job. Everything you do, be proud of it. Because it is in the pride that you take in your present task that will help to elevate you for greater responsibilities and greater tasks. It will promote you in the things you do. So take pride. P number 7, find your passion. Find your passion. Find your passion. Your calling comes with a passion. You need to find that, because if you don't, then you will be falling for somebody else's calling and passion. And those are the things that will bring you burnt out, because you're focusing on somebody else's mission. You cannot find comfort. You cannot find peace. You cannot find solitude. So remember to find your own passion, calling, and purpose, and that will help you to find your successes, and it will help to accelerate your accomplishments. Perspective. Know what you are about, and that is P number 8. Know what you are about, because if you don't, as I mentioned before, you're going to fall for something else, and then you're going to be going around in circles. It's like you're chasing your tail. It's like you're chasing your shadow. So have a perspective. Be strong about what you stand for, and don't waver. And P number 9 is prayer and meditation. Always give thanks to your superior source, God, Christ your Savior. Each and everyone knows who and what their superior source is, or at least supposed to know, and to tap into that. Keep searching. Keep praying. Sally, nothing will get you out quicker than singing songs of praises and praying and just thanking God that that moment presents itself and that it helps you. I want to read another thing that I have on my wall for many years, and it's another of Ralph Waldo Emerson. I think you all know, understand that I love him from the depths of my soul, and it's on success. To laugh often and much, to win the respect of intelligent people, and the affection of children, to earn the appreciation of honest critics, and endure the betrayal of false friends, to achieve beauty, to find the best in others, to leave the world a bit better, whether by a healthy child, a garden patch, or a redeemed social condition. To know even one life has breathed easier because you have lived. This is to have succeeded. Each and every one of us has a different definition for success. Now you need to take time and create what your success definition is. Your purpose needs not to focus and surround you. It needs to impact someone else. You have to make a decision. Now that you have rejoiced yourself out of the valley, what are your commitments to others? The present, the future. What legacies have you decided to create, to leave behind? When you are no longer here, what will others be saying about you? Would you have made an impact in others' lives? Would you have encouraged others to live their life dream? Will they say it was because of James or Daniel that I have invested in so many children? It was because of Barbara or David that I stepped out and follow on my dreams that the Lord has placed in my life? Will they say it was because of Victoria or Vincent that I have stepped out to create this program that has helped to prevent malnutrition and to just help those children who were less fortunate? Will they say it was because of that radio program that I listened to whether on traditional radio or on Blog Talk Radio, that supports my desire to step out of my comfort zone and to make a difference in the world. What will they say about you? Ask yourself this. I want to remind you that you were created for an amazing purpose. You were created for a destiny. I want to tell you, don't allow your valley moments to derail you or to take you off of this path. Remember, even when the hill gets steep, I have been on many steep hills. I am still on many hills, but I keep on climbing. I keep on climbing. I keep on climbing. And when I'm tired, I find a rock and I rest and I sing songs of praises. I start reading my checklist in my memory, and I keep reminding myself of where God has brought me from. And as I sing, and as I reach up, and as I connect to the successes that God has already given me, I get stronger, and I get up, and I keep climbing. And before long, I know I will be on top of the mountaintops, and so will you. I pray that rejoicing out of the valley, this special episode of the A New Day show on this Memorial Day weekend on September the 5th, 2009, will touch the lives of many people. If you were able to listen live, I appreciate you. If you will come back and get it on demand, I appreciate you. And please share it with someone else. If you are listening to the recording on CD, I thank you for doing that. And please share it with others. I want to thank you and remind you to just listen to my show on www.blogtalkradio.com/Daphne-Clark-Hudson every Wednesday, 10 to 12 Eastern Standard Time. You can reach me on the telephone at 203-546-8217. My website is www.clarkhudson.com. And you can also call me for a free coaching session so you can understand what coaches do, and I can help you to carve out a way to your destiny. In the meantime, this is the Queen of the Empowered Soul. So long. And remember where God has brought you from.
Called me to be. Some people call it destiny. Will you let me know? What's the plight that you've called me to? The thing I'm set aside to do. I trust you, Lord, to see me through. Will you let me look in your heart? And the plan you have for me.